On this episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast, we sit down and talk with my long friend Grant Wilson from the Ghost Hunters.
And I have no clue who he is, so I'm going to, let's see, internet, G-R-A-N-T-W, oh, hold on, Thrill Geek Podcast, now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. We have a very awesome, exciting guest, a good friend of mine, Grant Wilson from the Ghost Hunters is here. How you doing, sir? Good to see you.
I can't see you though. I can only hear you.
Oh, good to hear you.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, Clint, he is not just from the Ghost Hunters. He is an art director and developer for Rather Dashing Games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's, at least that's what his Wikipedia page says. So
it's true. Wikipedia is right for once. Wow.
Even though according to them, your page has multiple issues. So
I'm well, sure it does. I haven't checked in a while. There's so much wrong on that page. It's amazing.
Anyways, we're gonna discuss all sorts of things. Grant recently went to Italy, so we'll talk about that really quick. The only international parks you've been to, Grant, is Paris, right? You've been to Disneyland Paris?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
You haven't been to Tokyo yet?
No. When my youngest son graduates, that's our plan, is to head over and hit the Asian ones. So.
Ah. So we'll have to
That's going
to
be a challenge. Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't remember because I know, you know, you, like us, were all obsessed with Japanese culture. I couldn't remember if you had been to Tokyo Disney yet or not. So
I haven't been over there at all yet, and it's driving me nuts.
I would imagine. Me and Cheryl, too.
Me three.
Yeah, all of us. Group trip to Tokyo.
Let's do it.
So really quick, your trip to Italy, which was, what, last week, right?
Yes, yep.
You actually lived there for, how long was it? About how long did you live there for? 2 years? So you actually went back, and I was following all your stuff on Facebook and Instagram, and gosh, that place is gorgeous. I mean, you could just walk around and just look at stuff. So what were some of the highlights of your trip there, just besides the food?
Well, that was definitely, like I said, I lived there for 2 years, but that was about 22 years ago.
Yeah.
That makes my back hurt, but... Yeah, I was over there doing service, teaching English. I learned the language fluently. I was dreaming in Italian, and you start to think in Italian. It's very weird. But, you know, I've been married to Rihanna for 21 years, and I've been trying to get her to go back. And my brother and I have been planning a trip for a while, so we finally just said, forget it. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And it was really weird to be back. The Italian came back very quickly. And I'm having a hard time shutting it off. So if I pause or stumble,
we're going to randomly get Grant talking in Italian.
But it was just great to be back. I mean, the Italian people are very nice. They always look like they're arguing, but when you understand the language, they're just excited.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But yeah, we went back to Pisa, which I actually lived in for a few months. And we were staying in Florence, but we took day trips and Pisa was
like
just
pizza.
Yeah, we actually I made sure everyone had a piece of pizza in Pisa. Like that's something you got to do.
That's awesome.
We did, and I got to eat at the same pizzeria I used to eat at, and yeah, it was really neat.
That's
but,
awesome.
But really, seeing the Colosseum was amazing, and just thinking of the sounds that were coming out of that, and you know, they used to flood that thing and do water battles, naval battles in there.
Yeah,
just a phenomenal thing. Yeah.
I saw your video of like you just did like a slow scrolling video of just the outside of it, and seeing that thing in person has to be just unbelievable. And
it's crazy. The whole city of Rome is like, you know, there are ruins everywhere, and these people are just kind of like living in them. They're like the ruins are built into the new buildings and everything, and it's just phenomenal.
That's awesome. There was one thing you posted. I don't know if you posted it on your Facebook, but I saw it on your Instagram. It was like some little mask shop or something.
Mm. Yeah, so I like to look for that stuff. We, my friend Sarah Coombs sent me a couple of places to go seek out on a quest. And one was this little puppet shop. This lady was just in there making little Pinocchio puppets by hand. And another one was this guy, Alessandro Desi, who's a famous mask and puppet maker. And his shop was like walking right into Labyrinth. It was incredible.
That place looked crazy. I saw your video and just all these masks and just all sorts of craziness. It looked really cool.
It was incredible. I did go on one ride over there, though. I went on a gondola ride in Venice. that was pretty great.
Speaking of which, I think Cheryl mentioned it on Facebook. You and Rihanna's cruise down the river reminded us of the It's a Small World videos.
Yeah, so every time we go on Small World, we do these crazy videos. And it's funny you say that because I wasn't going to tell anyone and put it in a video, but we did do a Small World video on the gondola. So I just wanted to put the music behind it. So you'll see that later.
Oh, God. I just watched it and I was like, oh, this is just this is bringing back memories of the It's a Small World.
Yeah, I even put one of those rides in my my Disney video on my YouTube channel. So that was funny.
Yeah, I saw that.
Nuck it in there.
Really quick, speaking of Europe and everything, you took a trip to Disneyland Paris. I mean, obviously it was a while ago, but do you remember anything about that park that really set it apart from Disney parks here stateside? We'll kind of change gears here and talk theme parks now.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. I went over and did a paranormal event in France, and we had to go there. We spent a couple days there, and it was wild. The Phantom Manor, which is there, my favorite ride in Disney is the Haunted Mansion in both parks. But over there, they have the Phantom Manor,
which was
I think one of the best versions. It was the ending gets a little wacky, but it was the story was very established and easy to follow, and it just had. It gets dark, like you know how in the Haunted Mansion you go out the window and fall down into the graveyard.
Yeah.
Well, this one keeps going. You go down underground and you see skeletons, and there's a skeleton trying to pull another one down into the ground.
So it gets pretty deep.
Yeah. And then you go on Space Mountain, Futureland over there.
Yeah.
It's all steampunk. And you get on Space Mountain, and then the shoulder straps, you know, harnesses come down, and you're like, wait, what?
This ain't Space Mountain.
Go into loops. Yeah, there's loops.
Yeah.
So it was intense. It was kind of, it felt like a sampling of Disney. Like it was a little smaller, but it was way more intense. And
their castle's really unique too.
Yeah, it's got the, you don't even know it. Underneath, it's got, you know, Maleficent as the dragon. And
yeah, I've seen
amazing.
Yeah, the dragon underneath it.
You have to see that in real life. It is mind blowing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, we went back. Let's talk about your YouTube channel really quick. You actually started that pretty recently, right?
Yeah, I started, I think, last month. I had been, you know, I was on the show Ghost Hunters, and I'd done that for 8 years. And I decided I needed to stop and get back to my family and things. And I'm still a paranormal investigator, still researching, still helping people.
And you still do events and stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I do events because I want to connect with the people. I spent the last 5 years trying to sell the next level of paranormal TV to networks because, you know, the shows nowadays, just everyone kind of running around in the dark, except for Amy and Adam's show. Theirs is really good.
But, yeah, we still watch theirs.
So I'm trying to kind of like get all of our fans out of kindergarten in the first grade. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Networks and stuff all told me that my shows are too smart for TV.
What does that?
I guess that's a compliment to me, but not to the fans. So I took it personally because I know my fan base and I love my fan base, and they're wonderful, intelligent people.
Dumb it down, Grant. Dumb it down.
I know. Them good people. Me like. But so I just tried forever. I did some scripted stuff to try to sell, and it's just like, forget it. These people don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I've been toying around with YouTube for a while. And at the same time, I was toying around with trying to do a brain dump book of just everything I've learned in my, good grief, almost Yeah, like 30 years experience.
Yeah.
But I realized, you know what? YouTube's where it's at. I can say what I need to say. I can link videos. You know, I can.
You can really be yourself.
They can be as long as they want to be. Right. I can edit it how I want, inject the humor, because I don't see the paranormal as doom and gloom.
Yeah.
So I like to keep the channel light and fun.
Yeah.
And there's no separation between me and the fan. It's perfect. It's perfect for what I want it to do. And I don't care if it makes money or as how many views it gets.
Sure.
I just want to get this out there. Yeah.
Now explain to everybody, your YouTube channel is called, obviously, What the Fetch.
Yes.
Can you explain kind of what that means?
What the Fetch is a term I picked up a long time ago. And you know, I'm not one to swear much, especially on TV. They actually bleeped me a couple times on TV when I didn't actually swear.
Yeah.
And I had to chew them out. But I would say What the Fetch a lot. And it stuck with people and they really liked it. And, you know, fetch is an archaic word for like an entity or spirit.
Yeah.
But that was unintentional. And so I kind of – it became my catchphrase. And so I named the YouTube show What the Fetch because – I didn't want it necessarily to be just about ghosts.
Yeah.
You know, I just, anything that makes you say what the fetch. And right now the videos are mostly paranormal, but they'll branch out. I got to meet people where they were expecting me to be. And it's just where I'm talking about all things weird, trying to bend your brain a little bit, all with a healthy dose of humor.
Of course, you always have that. And
I'm 12 years old, man.
Oh, I know. I know. I've known you long enough to understand that.
Yeah, you're like, if that, you're more like 8.
Speaking of which, really quick, I had a lot of people asking when I first announced that I was going to get you on the podcast. A lot of people were like, how do you know Grant Wilson? So
really, that's a story for you to tell.
Really quick, this will put a date on it too.
Oh no.
Yeah. I didn't actually meet Grant. It was – well, at the time, my girlfriend, now my wife, Cheryl, she actually met Grant's wife on MySpace.
Could you explain to the children what MySpace is?
I don't need to know.
Yeah. How do you even explain MySpace? Facebook?
Just don't even try. Yeah. It's Facebook with the soundtrack.
Facebook. But yeah, long story short, my wife, girlfriend at the time, met Grant's wife. They kind of started chatting. I forgot what the initial chatter was about, but anyways,
who knows?
Yeah. Long story short, they ended up coming down here. We ended up going on a Disney cruise together,
which was a blast, man.
It was a lot of fun. I still, every now and then I fall back on the pictures of that trip and, I think it was Connor's plate of nothing.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah. They asked him, I think it was Noah. They asked him what he wanted for dessert and he said nothing.
Yeah,
and nothing. So they sent a plate with the word nothing written on it and chocolate syrup.
Yeah.
Classic.
So, that's basically in a nutshell how we met. After that, we kind of, you know, continued to be friends and we actually went up there and hung out with you guys for a while and went on a camping trip and, so we've been kind of good friends ever since, you know, we've kept in touch. So
yeah, totally.
There you go. That's how me and Grant met. So, back on topic, your YouTube channel, you mentioned the weird, and your one of your latest videos is actually from your fairly recent trip to Disney, right? It was actually right before your Italy trip.
Yeah. Yeah. It was literally like 2 weeks before. Yeah.
And you have your first Disney World video on there called Disney Weird. Kind of, I guess explain what that video is all about. Obviously, the weird stuff behind Disney.
Yeah. So it's just basically kind of intro to, like I said, I'm meeting people where they expect me, and this is kind of a bend in a certain direction. And the video is basically me just kind of confessing how much of a Disney nerd I am. I mean, I literally do it in the video. And
yeah.
I love it. I mean, I would live there if I could. And, you know, I talk about some of the things that, you know, weird Disney heads like us already know. It's just old information. But, you know, I talk about, you know, just some of the logistical weirdness. And then I talk about some of the claims that I've heard from different people, cast members and people who grew up there and, you know, rumor and legend. But I didn't talk about the Haunted Mansion or Pirates, which are supposedly the two most haunted rides in the park. But I'm going to do my own videos of them. And I'll do more Disney videos with more weirdness. But that was just kind of an introduction to it all.
Can you give us a sneak peek?
Sneak peek? Of what?
Some of the stuff you've heard in Haunted Mansion.
Still, here's the problem. A lot of people confuse the reports from Disneyland's Haunted Mansion with Disney World's Haunted Mansion. At Disneyland, there's a lot more kind of about it. In both places, people are spreading ashes, their loved ones' ashes, only to be sucked up and thrown in a landfill by the mouse, I'm sure. You know what I mean? So I'm glad they're grateful for that. But
they go out there with them big push vacuums at the end of the day. And
yeah, right?
Or they suck them up.
The mouse is watching, man. He sees you do it. You're just going to get in trouble. but there's also the report of, you know, the old man or the man with a cane that people see riding the ride and getting on the ride, but he's unresponsive. And they believe that that's the pilot whose plane crashed into what is now Bay Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Before,
I saw that.
Yeah, in the 40s before the park was ever built. And for me, that gives me hope because if I die and I can be like that guy and come back and ride that ride, there's
you're
like
going straight to Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I'll go there and I'll ride that sucker over again and I'll hide in the graveyard. I'll go all those places I couldn't go. You know what I mean? And I would have the fastest pass. Like no one would be in my way.
That would be YouTube gold, catching Grant when he passes in the Haunted Mansion.
In the mirrors at the end, right?
Hey. Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there. You know, there's that photo that's circulating the internet. A guy was, I guess, the first person on the ride, but there was a kid looking back at him, and he took a picture of him.
Where was that?
Buggy. I'm not sure. I think that's in Disney World, but
interesting.
It's really hard to verify. Yeah.
So you think Walt's frozen head is under Magic Kingdom Grant?
Well, of course. That's what they use to make all their ice cream, right? Walt's frozen head.
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, I worked at Disney World myself. You know, Cheryl does. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is all the stories you hear from, like you said, the former cast members or current cast members even. A lot of the attraction hosts, they have these stories of if they don't do this certain thing in the morning, the ride will have all these malfunctioning issues throughout the day.
Yeah, and that's one of the stories, the claims around, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. There's the George ghost there that supposedly got crushed by a beam. I don't know, or fell from the roof. There's 100 different stories. But I've known this story for a while. And the thing is, supposedly, if you get on that ride and pretend like George doesn't exist and he's like, it's just a story, that the ride will break down. And there are certain signposts kind of along the way. Like if you see a light in a tower and if you see this certain door by the jail scene open, that's supposed to be indicators that George is there. And
interesting.
Every time we ride this ride with my family, we kind of go through these motions. And every single time we ride that ride and do that, nothing happens on the ride. But the very next ride we ride on, every single time breaks down.
Interesting.
So, I mean, those rides are going nonstop. So, I mean, you know, it was funny. One time we did it just to see if it would work with some friends of ours.
Yeah.
We're like, this is what happens. We did it. And then we rode the Seven Dwarves. And I told them, you know, it's a new ride. And I said, look, you're only in that little area with the animatronics and the dwarves for a short amount of time. So look around, soak it in.
Yeah.
And as soon as the coaster came around to that area, it stopped. And that was the next ride we rode. It was cool. So they were able to soak it in.
That's awesome. I think the one on the Haunted Mansion is Cheryl told me, I can't remember what it was, but it's something like if the cast members that operate the pets the crow.
It's a crow. Yeah. You have to pet the crow. Or else it'll break down.
If they don't, then the ride will have all these issues, which is interesting because Haunted Mansion has several issues mechanically. Yeah. So the fact that if they don't pet the bird, I imagine it would be 10 times as worse. Mm-hmm. Really quick, I kind of dug through, like I told you before we started recording here, I dug through the Ghost Hunters archives, and like I said, I found Kings Island was one of, if not the only park that you investigated. Is there any part of that investigation that really stuck out to you? I mean, you could talk about the whole thing. I don't remember the episode. I watched it. You know, me and Cheryl, we were religious Ghost Hunters watchers, but I don't remember the Kings Island episode for some reason. So
yeah, I was hoping it was about half an episode. Yeah. But we were there for a long time, and it was really challenging to investigate that because, you know, it's indoors and outdoors at once. And it was cold, and it started to storm while we were there, which is good for paranormal activity. Storms tend to kick it up. But it was fantastic. It was like, I mean, one of my dreams is to walk around Disney, you know, at night when no one's there. And it was, you know, it was just us there. And we could go wherever we want. I mean, Jay and I walked up the drained, raft ride.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we walked the whole thing.
That's awesome. I was going to say, did they give you like free roam of the whole park and...
Yeah, unfettered access. I mean, none of the rides were running, of course. But I mean, Amy and Adam, went and followed some sounds they heard into the haunted house ride, and they're walking around the ride. It was amazing, and that's why I would, to this day, when people ask me, you know, what place would you investigate? It's like Disney. I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah,
that there. But it was really neat. The stories there. Involved a little girl who died before the park was ever built. There was like a munitions factory or a explosives manufacturer, and they had an accident and exploded and killed like 100 people. And there's actually a cemetery right in the parking lot of Kings Island that you can go and walk around, just park your car. And
really?
If you can't look, if you tear your eyes away from the roller coasters there, you can see this graveyard, and that girl's gravestone is there. Her name is Missouri Jane, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, we found evidence. We got some voices of her walking around, or a girl. We assume it's her.
Yeah.
Looking for her mom, which is interesting. But I also, there's a part they didn't show on the show where we were sitting up in the International restaurant? And they've got these windows that look out over the little Eiffel Tower there.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there with my back to the window, but there are mirrors there. And I saw somebody moving around oddly fast on the tower. Oh. And I turned around to film it, and I saw it again for a second, and then it was gone. But they didn't put that on the show.
Eiffel Tower thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Up there. And there was nobody there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Barry, do you have any questions for Grant? I'm kind of running the show here. I don't want to leave you out.
I mean, it to me, what's interesting is, I mean, how do you go from you were like, unless I'm wrong about this, you were a plumber at one point.
Yeah,
yeah. How did you go from that to paranormal stuff? I mean, that's a leap.
It's a fair question. The thing is, I got kind of thrust into this field through my own experiences when I was 15. So I've been investigating ever since then, and good grief, I'm almost 44. So it's been a while. And so paranormal investigation, I don't ever charge anyone to come and help them in their home. That just makes it weird and convoluted. So you have to have a job, you know, to pay for this expensive hobby.
Yeah.
The plumbing was just what I happened to be doing when they decided they wanted to do a TV show. Before that, I was a systems administrator, and I had managed a music store and all this stuff. So I was all over the map. That's just what I was doing to pay the bills, put food on the table. And then at night or on the weekends, I would do paranormal investigation. So the paranormal investigation actually came first, and the job was just consequential. Yeah.
You hear that?
But they do come in handy. Yeah, I don't charge. In fact, I was in talks with, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I was in talks with Disney for a little bit. They wanted me to come down and do an investigation of Pirates and Haunted Mansion with just cast members as a perk for them.
Really?
And it was supposed to be really hush hush, but it fell through. Something happened. I can't remember what happened. There was some kind of something got in the way, made that horribly inappropriate. I think someone got hurt or something, and so they thought, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's keep it happy and not morbid. And that, but that's the way I look at the paranormal. I don't look at it as doom and gloom and
sure
and skulls and blood and all. You know, like a lot of paranormal stuff is dark and scary, and I mean, it's just not that way for me. Yeah.
Well, that's why I started watching the show.
Well, good. All right.
So we like I said before, when we right before we started recording, I got a lot of questions. A lot of them were fairly consistent as far as from fans of yours, theme park related questions.
Cool.
And I'll fire off a few of them here to you. A lot of people surprisingly wanted to know, Disneyland or Walt Disney World, which do you prefer and why?
Whew. Okay.
That's a tough one, I know.
So it depends on your goals. Like Disney World has a lot going on, but it's all spread out, you know? So you got a lot more transportation and buses and all that. But the resorts are phenomenal. So if you want to go on like a, you know, a getaway resort type thing, Disney World's where it's at. And now with the minivans, it just makes it very simple to get around.
Did you do the minivan?
We almost did, and then realized that, like, you know, as they're pulling out car seats, we're like, okay, this isn't for us. You know, because there were three of us going around at that point. It was just Ryan and I and Jonas. We're like, you know what? Maybe we're paying for empty seats.
Yeah, because they actually load those things up with car seats.
Yeah. Yeah, they open the back and there's two pristine car seats.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I can sit on the bus. But Disneyland is actually my favorite. Because, you know, if you can stay in the Grand Californian or, geez, any of the hotels, they're all close. I mean, you've got Disney, you've got the Magic Kingdom, and you've got California Adventure. Well, it's Disneyland, but you know what I mean. You've got Disneyland and California Adventure with basically downtown Disney or Disney Springs in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's very approachable. And I love how you can just bounce from park to park. And I just, there's so many more rides in Disneyland. I love the dark rides.
Yeah.
Pinocchio is my very favorite Disney movie, and they've got the ride there.
They still got Mr. Toad, for crying out loud.
I know, which, why does that have a ride? I don't know, but okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, it to me, it's always been, I mean, the two parks there have almost as many attractions as all of Disney World. I think,
and someone, my wife and I did it. Go ahead, sorry.
As someone who grew up going to Walt Disney World, and I warn everybody who's been going to Disney World and they love Disney World, I was like, once you go to Disneyland, you're never going to look at Walt Disney World the same way ever again.
It's so true. There's so much more. My wife and I were keeping this list comparing, and it's hard to do because we don't go enough to both. But
yeah,
you know, we looked at Disneyland has like more rides in it, and the rides that are in it that are the same as Disney World are more often better.
Yeah.
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 Like the Pirates out there is phenomenal, and we have to eat at the Blue Bayou all the time, you know.
Main thing for me, they have the Indiana Jones adventure, which
fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
talk about rides that break, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We were there a couple years ago for the 60th.
Yes.
I wanted to ride Indiana Jones as many times as I could, and it was hit or miss because that ride was down a lot. That was one question, Disneyland or Walt Disney World. So it kind of seems like I think everybody kind of agrees they're two completely different experiences, and they both have completely different feelings to them, I guess.
Yeah, if you could take Disneyland, like Magic Kingdom, and put it in Disney World, I'd be all set.
Yeah.
I'd be all set.
Yeah.
Be set for life. You kind of already answered this, your favorite ride, Haunted Mansion, obviously.
Done. Yep. But maybe like, you know, there's a second, I guess, thrill ride would be Space Mountain. I mean, that just, I'm instantly, when I'm in that queue and that spew, crazy music's playing.
Yeah.
I love it. That I'm instantly 8 years old again.
Yeah.
And that's the best feeling.
There's something about that music that gets you every time.
So good. And the crazy ship full of astronauts spinning, or the, not astronauts, but the riders spinning behind that magnifying glass.
Yeah, the crazy optical illusions of all the
just sends
space
me back.
Stations flying by and everything.
And the space cookie, which is supposed to be an asteroid.
Yeah, the Chips Ahoy.
Yep.
Got it. Oh, gosh. And a lot of people asked, if I don't know if this would be Haunted Mansion 2, if you could investigate any ride, what would it be? Disneyland or Disney World? Let's make it really hard.
Oh, man.
Or we can break it down, Disney World or and then Disneyland.
So if I can investigate a ride in Disney World and then a ride in Disneyland?
Sure, let's do that. If you could. Let's make it.
It's Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to like walk around in Pirates, but I don't think you really can. Like, just like it's all these pockets of scenes, but it's got to be Haunted Mansion. I just want to wander around the ballroom and stuff. I want to see the Pepper's ghost behind the scenes. I want to walk through that graveyard scene at the end and just, I would love to investigate that. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I think that's it really. That's what, that was all the questions I got from viewers that were legitimate.
Oof, those weren't tough.
No, fairly easy. People were, like I said, I got some weird ones, but that's going to happen.
What are the weird ones? Come on, let's do this.
Barry, did you have anything else?
I think Clint told me you're also a Star Wars fan, like a Star Wars
big
fan.
Time.
Yeah, that seems about. So you're going to weigh in, you know, Clint and I are sort of on the same page with The Last Jedi. Like, we liked it. We thought it was great. And still to this day, can't understand the backlash that sort of came from that movie. It's.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand why people didn't like it. Like, there are parts like in The Force Awakens, love it. The scene with where they meet Han Solo was a little hokey, but I get through it. You know, that's the dance number in Jabba's palace to me. Like, okay, whatever, I get through it. you know what I mean? And then you know, there are moments of that in The Last Jedi, but I think about what Rian Johnson had to do, and I think he executed it perfectly. I mean, you know, J.J. Abrams set him up so kind of awkwardly, but I think he knocked it out of the park. I love the way Luke went. I'm glad he went. I think we have to move on. And it was super noble and brilliantly executed. I thought it was fantastic. I do think the movie could benefit from the addition of one line, though. And that is just Admiral Holdo saying to Poe, you know, hey, they tracked us through, you know, light speed, and, you know, well, I'm not going to tell anybody our plan because there's clearly probably a spy on here. Like, that would have put a lot of that, you know what I mean? That would have put a lot of that tension to rest, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, she just wasn't telling him for some weird reason. And I don't understand why. Other than he was a flyboy off loose cannon. I get that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could talk about this for hours.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I mean, it's funny how, I mean, Star Wars is still, I mean, to me, it's a big thing. I was at the right age when it came out. But it's funny how the Marvel movies have sort of, I'd say almost they're the biggest thing going right now as far as,
you haven't seen Infinity War yet, right,
fandom,
Grant?
So.
I have seen it.
You did?
I have seen it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was, I didn't know. I figured you were. When did you see it? When you got back from Italy?
I literally saw it the day after I got back from Italy.
I didn't think you see it. So, because I was like, you know what? Maybe we could talk to Grant about Infinity War a little bit, but I didn't think you were going to see it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for
you. No. We'll we just posted our spoiler filled review. So
we talked about Infinity War for an hour. So
yeah, that was the episode that was posted today. But well, if you can, what did you spoiler free hashtag Thanos demands your silence? What did you think of it?
I mean, it's clearly the culmination of all these other movies and storylines. So, I mean, you can't just go into it not knowing what's going on. Yeah. So there was a lot of loose end tying going on there. So if you understand that when you see it, you know, it won't feel as maybe as disjointed. But I mean, I thought the Thanos to me is exactly the type of villain I love. Where if you sat down and heard him out until he was done, you'd probably agree with him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not some maniacal guy just looking for money or power or whatever. Like, he's a father figure that was trying to make a tough decision for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And the ending, I was just – the movie, the credits rolled, and I was just limp in my chair. Like, I just – I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah, it was such a weird feeling leaving that theater afterwards. Keeping on the no spoilers.
Oh, no. It was amazing. I mean, we've said this before. I've never experienced a film going experience quite like that. I mean, people went nuts at certain points. And boy, that last 10 minutes, you could have heard a pin drop in the theater I was in. And just it fades to black, and there's just stunned silence in the movie theater, except for a few, people going, what the ending came, you know?
Yes. The ending came so quick. You're like, bam. Okay. Well, that's it.
It reminded me
of Rogue One in the fact that it's like, okay, you know, the ending, you know, happened fast, and you're like, there's the credits. Yeah. And then you make you think back of what just happened.
But I
love that kind of movie. You take risks.
No, I mean, that's to me is one of the amazing things to me about them, especially in the last 5 years of the Marvel movies, of them, taking these major risks. I mean, none of us going in thought that it was going to end with him winning.
Be careful.
Yeah, sorry. Spoiler. None of us, you know, thought it was going to end that way. And when it did, it was just, I was like, I walked out there. I was like, wow, that took a lot of, for lack of a better term, balls to end that movie that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Thor Ragnarok was a very different Marvel movie. And I think they were testing the waters in a lot of ways. You know, how far can we push this? Kind of like what the Star Wars anthology films are doing right now.
Well, I mean,
you know, they're starting to push the boundaries.
Well, that's my thing with Thor Ragnarok is people always are like, oh, yeah, so all the humor and funny. I was like, yeah, but it's also was very dark. I mean, we're talking about the end of a civilization and you know, killing all these, you know, you're basically killing off Asgard. And it's like, yeah, you were cracking a bunch of jokes, too, but. But it's like it still had a pretty deep, dark storyline going on.
Yeah, and that same theme carried in to Infinity War. And good grief, you see what happened at the end of Thor Ragnarok, and you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
You kind of see where that story ends up.
Going back to Star Wars, you excited about Galaxy's Edge, Grant?
Oh, are you kidding me? I like watch update videos as often as possible. And, you know, I try to like triangulate where everything is.
Yeah.
And I'm really psyched for the hotel they're building too. The super immersive hotel. I know I got to do that, but I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to make a reservation there.
Yeah. Because everyone's going to want to do it. How much that thing's going to cost.
Yeah. Right. But it's going to be worth it.
From what we've read.
But I really love the immersion level they're coming up with, where, you know, how you fare in that Millennium Falcon ride is going to carry with you as you go around that part of the park.
Yeah.
And that's just phenomenal.
The depth they're going to for Galaxy's Edge is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see out of like what the Imagineers want. And what really happens. Cause there, I mean, I have a friend who's an Imagineer, and he is actually working on the Star Wars, the Battle Escape Ride. And it's basically the same group that worked on Pirates of the Caribbean in Shanghai. And their goal with that ride, his state is to top what they did in Shanghai. I think some people don't understand that even as they're building the ride, obviously couldn't get into specifics, but there's a battle that goes on between the Imagineers, between budgeting, between park ops, between maintenance what ends up in these rides. And it was interesting to hear sort of like, they're trying to push the edge on one thing, but maintenance is like, well, no, it's going to break down this many times. And we know it would be much better if it was static instead of moving. And they pull off all the stuff that they've dreamed up for that thing, it's going to be a ride like no one's ever seen. And then, like you said, the Millennium Falcon ride is going to be another ride. It's going to be another simulator, but this is the first time where you're going to control everything's rendered on the fly. It's not like the same thing every single time you go through. So
I think it was,
it's just going to be
nice. NVIDIA actually posted they had a conference or something where they actually showed a clip.
Yeah, they showed.
Yeah, I saw that.
Of the current, what it sort of looks like at this. Yeah, it's going to use some of the most powerful graphics processors ever used. And
the video clip actually showed them like running into like a bunch of AT-AT walkers, I think it was.
Knocked him down.
Yeah. So it that shows you that your reactions,
everything was in real time.
Yeah, your reactions are going to be the outcome of the ride, and that's going to carry over into the land and just all sorts of insanity.
Yeah, you're not a passenger anymore like Star Wars. Like you're driving this thing. And if you suck, then everyone's going to tell you that.
You're going to get off and stormtroopers are going to be looking at you and judging you.
And the thing we've talked about on here before, the iron is amazing as it's going to be, and Clint and I have talked about this, it's still not going to fully fix that park, because that park's still not going to have enough stuff to do. And actually, it's going to probably make things worse with drawing more crowds there than that park can handle.
But we're getting Toy Story Land in 2 months.
Oh, yes, we're getting Toy Story Land.
Slinky Dog?
I don't know. To me, Toy Story Land, like, it's fun. It's cool. I like how you're shrunk down to the size of an army man, but it's like, isn't that kind of on its way out, Toy Story?
Toy Story is one of the Pixar classics. It was the first, you know?
It's just funny. This is a thing that goes online sometimes. As big as all the Pixar movies are, they've gotten some of the worst worst things in the parks as far as attractions and stuff. And
aside from Cars Land at Disney,
aside from Cars Land, the one where we all go, it was okay, but I love Cars Land. Cars Land is amazing, and it's awesome. Like the movies. But the actual land and Radiator Springs were, even the two smaller rides were fun. The Mater's and Luigi's were fun rides. So
Luigi's is hilarious. That cracks us up every time.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Some people are like, "Oh, that's not really great." I thought that was a trip with the dancing cars and
it's hilarious.
While we're on the subject of theme park lands, what do you think? I mean, you guys did Avatar while you're down, right, Grant? Mm-hmm. Like Barry said, Disney Twitter and theme park Twitter in general is a fun place when you're on there. Everybody judging lands and Pandora, the world of Avatar, has been one of those areas where I think it was before it was even announced, but when it was rumored that people are like, why is Disney building a land based on Pandora? It's just one of those things that people judged right off the bat.
Yeah, that's the reaction I had when they announced it. We were like, what? Oh. Okay, let's see what they do. And it's pretty amazing at night. It's pretty incredible.
And the Flight of Passage ride is amazing.
Oh yeah. The thing is, the simulator rides are cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of their crutch now. Like, I love Haunted Mansion and Pirates are the best because it's all right there.
Yeah.
It's not a projection.
It's not a screen. You know? That's another thing.
And that's why it was, yeah, like the Frozen ride was great to see that they had the animatronics and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a lot of screens and stuff there.
Well, the problem with Frozen is their faces are screens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a little
weird. If you watch it, if you ride that ride, after you ride it a few times, it really, really starts to
show.
Because it's like their face does not blend into the rest of their skin.
But that's kind of how a lot of women really are when they do their makeup. I'm kidding. The face is glowing, but the rest not. Yeah. I'm teasing. Come on.
And what's great is when the when they
hyper realistic,
when they malfunction, there's some hilarious pictures of Olaf and his face is like purple and blue and all these like psychedelic colors. Screen. Yeah,
got the blue screen from Windows.
The Windows blue screen of death.
We were riding the Little Mermaid ride, right, and we got the ride stopped right as we were staring at Ariel standing there dancing. You know, she's kind of doing the cha-cha. But one eye was twitching, the eyelid was twitching, and the other one was looking, the eyeball was looking off to the to her right. So we're standing there in front of this thing, wigging out. It was hilarious. I love that stuff.
There was the Ursula's head fell off a little while back. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No,
there was video all over Twitter. It's probably on YouTube too. But the big Ursula animatronic, her head fell off and she's swinging her arms around dancing to Poor Unfortunate Souls and
some kids having a traumatic experience.
It was hilarious.
But, I mean, that shows you the construction of those things is the head pops off and it's still going.
It's still trucking.
But I think that, I mean, I know the head popped off, but I think it was still, I can't remember if you could really tell with that video if the mouth was still moving on the head or not.
Ah, God.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to have to go back and watch it now and study it.
Yeah.
That was one of the – people are still waiting for – not to get political here, but people are still waiting for the Trump animatronic and Hall of Presidents to go crazy. Oh, my gosh.
They say it looks like – they started making Hillary and
it's
then turned
awful.
It into Trump.
It was later. Terrible when it finally made its debut. I mean, all politics aside, the animatronic is horrible. I mean, Barry, you've seen it.
I've seen videos.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in person yet.
It's terrible.
I don't know if I will ever be seeing it in person, but yeah, I've seen videos.
Oh gosh, that was awful. When he made his debut, everybody was like, "Oh my god!" But you were right. A lot of people were saying, "It looks like they started Hillary and they switched it over to Trump." But anyways,
they just put a most complex hairpiece on an animatronic ever.
I think we're gonna wrap it up here. I think that's pretty much it.
Sure.
One last question from me.
Sure.
Why did you decide to get into board games?
So before any of the ghosts entered my life or anything, I was drawing ever since I could hold a pencil. And I was always taking all these old board games and remaking them or adding new rules and stuff. And, you know, I've been doing the show Ghost Hunters. And one of my best friends, Mike Ritchie, had designed a few games and he was really good at it. And he was working for a company and he wanted to branch off on his own. And he's like, "I just need some capital and an artist." I'm like, "Well, I got that." And so we started a company together. And I never ever thought as a kid that you go to the store and you buy board games, but you don't think that someone's actually making those for a living. And so when that reality hit, I was like, how could I not think of this before? And it's just something that comes very natural for Mike and I. And so I was doing that and I've done some creative production for video game companies and things like that. So I love to create and build worlds and, And it just stems from that.
How well is it doing? Because I know there's been like sort of this resurgence with like board games and card games and people actually getting together to play games. It seems like it's become very popular again.
Yeah, it really has. People who are kind of outside of it, who think board games are Monopoly and Parcheesi and stuff like that, don't know what they're missing. There is a huge culture with amazing games, beautiful artwork, gorgeous storytelling, just amazing games out there. In Europe, it's huge. You'll watch what you think is an ad for a movie and find out it's an ad for a board game. And America is getting very quickly getting there. It's just a fantastic world. And I tell you, if you're not a board gamer, it's just because you haven't found the right game yet. There is literally a game out there for everybody. There's a game called Deck Builders, which is about building decks. Like, there's literally a game about everything.
We've gotten big into board games with Jordan because, you know, he's 7 now, almost 8. So he's getting more involved. And Cheryl's mom, grandmommy, she's really into board games. So she's always buying us board games. And I've looked at some of the ones you guys created. What are kind of some of the age demographics that your board games are geared towards?
So our games, I'm a heavy gamer. I'll play light games and heavy, you know, 4 or 5 hour games. But our games are designed to be learned in like 5 minutes or less.
Yeah.
And they take usually about an hour to play. So they could be called family games, but they're heavily themed. And
yeah,
they're more designed for if you're a heavy gamer and you have friends that don't really game, yeah, they'll come and you'll both enjoy these games.
Gotcha.
So anywhere from typically 8 and up, depending on how intelligent your kid is. You know, not yours specifically, Clint.
It's my kid. Trust me. He's not the brightest crayon in the box, no.
No, he's got to be brilliant. Come on.
Yeah, he is.
I'm definitely intrigued after looking at your guys' site and watching the video, definitely intrigued with This Belongs in a Museum.
That's fun. Yep.
Because I'm obviously a huge Indiana Jones fan, so it looks like might be a fun little game to play.
Yeah, it definitely takes a lot of cues from that, so you'll enjoy it. We always, whenever we play it, you know, we'll decide who goes first, and I'll say, you know, Ash, very dangerous, you go first. we play it while we got Indiana Jones playing on our phones and stuff.
There's a, I'm actually talking with the guys that created the park. We're kind of switching gears back and forth, all sorts of crazy here. But you should really check this place out, Grant. It's called, I think it'd be like right up your alley. It's called Evermore Park.
Oh, in Utah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So you've heard of it?
Yeah, that place looks amazing. I have heard of it, and I've looked at it, and I was trying to get some people to do an event there, a paranormal event. But I haven't actually been there yet.
It's under construction right now, and I'm actually in talks with some of the guys behind it to be on the podcast because I want to learn more about it. I've talked with them, and I was like, I really don't, you know, I've studied the website and stuff, and they have a few YouTube videos.
There's not a lot of information.
No, and it's there's
very,
not.
What there is very intriguing. It's like a living,
really cool,
like a living park.
Yeah.
Like it's not necessarily roller coasters and stuff. It's you go there if you want to just go to this other world.
Yeah. It's just like this park that's going to transport you to this kind of fantasy medieval.
Steampunky medieval.
Yeah. And so we're trying to figure out a date to get it locked down, but they're cool. They really want to get on the podcast and talk about it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, when you talk to them, tell them that, you know, we'd love to do some some paranormal events there. I think you could do a huge convention there and people would love it.
Yeah. I don't know when I haven't seen an opening date. It's still under construction. I mean, and the detail they're putting into this place is crazy. Barry, anything else?
That's it. It's been,
questions, comments?
It's been great talking to you.
Likewise, what a true pleasure. It's good. You guys are my people, man.
Hopefully we'll all be able to meet up whenever you make it down here again.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Next time you're down, let us know, and we'll meet up and hit a few rides up or something and do some fun things in Orlando. You haven't been to Universal in a while, have you?
I was there a couple years ago, yeah.
You haven't done the Diagon Alley Potter experience?
I did.
Did you?
I did, yep, okay. Yep. And that was, talk about immersive. The detail there is fantastic. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's some of Universal's best work, is the
It really is.
All the Potter stuff. So anyways, we'll save that for another episode.
So where can people find you online, Grant?
Your YouTube channel.
Yeah, my YouTube channel is called The Grant Wilson, because regular Grant Wilson wouldn't give it up. So it's The Grant Wilson, which sounds horribly ostentatious, but whatever. And
you are The Grant Wilson.
I'm verified on Facebook and Twitter, so you guys can find me there very easily. That's the place to go. Yeah.
Yeah. I've retweeted all your stuff, all the tweets I've been sending out that we're going to be talking with you, so people can find you on there.
And then the games are rather-games.com.
Yep.
That's correct.
Grant, thank you so much. I appreciate it. This was fun. We'll have to, like I said, we'll have to do it again sometime. And,
gentlemen, my pleasure.
we'll definitely get together and do this again sometime. So, all right, everyone. Barry, you want to do the usual plugging?
We are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/Thrill Geek. Please like and follow our page, and youtube.com/Thrill Geek. Subscribe to our channel. We got all kinds of new videos from the Animal Kingdom's 20th and plenty more stuff coming soon to the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I got my new toy today, my DJI Osmo thing. So I'm going to be playing around with that a lot. Try and get some better quality videos on YouTube. So I should approach you, Grant, because your videos look pretty awesome so far from your channel. So
I'm learning. Learning.
No, really, I watched several of them and they were really good. So, anyways, thanks again, guys, for listening. Grant, thank you again, and we'll see you guys again next time.
Thank you.
See you in the parks.